Chapter 1. The rain streaked down the grimy window pane of my office, smearing the view of the streets below like bad watercolors. It was the kind of afternoon that made the Wilkinson building feel less like an office space and more like a mausoleum for forgotten dreams. The ceiling fan whined overhead, churning dust and stale air like it was trying to whip up a better mood. It failed. I sat behind my desk, absently shuffling a deck of unpaid bills and staring at the old clock on the wall. The hands ticked loud, slow, mocking me with every beat. Cole Harper, private investigator. A title with more bark than bite these days. I wasn't the next Philip Marlowe or Sam Spade, but I could hold my own, at least I used to. The door swung open without warning. Ava Dawson walked in with a smile and a steaming cup of coffee. She looked fresher than the rest of this crumbling place, which wasn't saying much. "Morning, Cole. Here's some coffee. Figured you could use a pickup," she said, all smooth and cheerful. I took the cup and let the bitter aroma slap me awake. "Thanks, Ava. Any calls this morning?" She gave me that patient look that said she'd heard the question 1,000 times before. "And nothing yet, Cole, but don't worry. Something'll turn up. I can feel it." Yeah, something always turned up. The trick was surviving long enough to see it. The door opened again and the temperature in the room dropped a degree. Juliet Montgomery strutted in like she owned the place, all curves and coy smiles wrapped in a dress that didn't know the meaning of modesty. Trouble walked in heels, and Juliet had the strut of someone born to break hearts and bankrolls. Ava didn't budge from where she stood, arms crossed and chin raised like a sentinel guarding the gates of decency. "What are you doing here, Juliet? This is a place of business." Juliet tilted her head and smiled sweetly as arsenic. "Don't get jealous, darling. I'm just here to see my favorite detective." I leaned back in my chair, already tired. "Cut the act, Juliet. What do you want?" Her smile faltered just a fraction. "Can a girl drop in to say hello?" "Not you. Spill it, Juliet. I'm not in the mood for games." She opened her mouth to answer, but the door banged open for the third time that morning. The room turned brighter by about 6 colors when a woman of about 70 years old sailed in, a walking rainbow of silk scarves and clinking jewelry. She looked like someone who had raided a fortune teller's trunk and proudly wore the spoils. On her shoulders sat a parrot the size of a small cannonball, its feathers bright red and its beady black eyes fixed on me with a malevolence that felt personal. Behind her loomed a tall, wiry man in a chauffeur's uniform. His name tag said Werner, but his face said, "Don't ask questions." "And Mr. Harper, I presume?" Her voice quavered like she was half ahead of her shadow. I waved her into the chair across from me. "That's me. How can I help you?" She sank into the chair, her scarves billowing like sails caught in a draft. "It's my husband, George, Mr. Harper. My husband. He's disappeared." "And you are?" I questioned. "My name is Hortense Prattle," she answered. I stapled my fingers. Missing husbands weren't uncommon. Half the time they turned up nursing a hangover in the back room of some bar. "How long has he been gone?"
3 days, Mr. Harper. 3 whole days. I've told the police, but they won't help until he's been missing a week."
3 days is a long time to stay lost.
"Was George in the habit of disappearing?" "Never. He liked walking the estate because it reminded him of his Navy days. He'd be gone an hour at most, but he's vanished without a trace."
Before I could say anything, the parrot let out an angry squawk, loud enough to rattle the windows.
"Yes, scurvy bilge rat, deep shadow."
The voice was sharp, clear, and unsettlingly human. I turned my gaze on the bird. It stared back at me with the empty malice of a thing that's seen too much and cares too little.
"Is he always this talkative?" I asked.
Hortense patted the parrot's wing like a doting aunt.
"That's Captain. He's George's parrot. He's been out of sorts since George disappeared. I don't know what he's talking about with all this deep shadow nonsense."
"Deep shadow? What is that, some name?"
The parrot flapped its wings. Blimey, where's me rum, you sea dog? Pieces of eight, buried treasure.
Charming bird, I muttered.
Was your husband worried about anything, Mrs. Prattle? Any reason he might have to be taken off on his own?
She shook her head, bracelets jangling.
A mentioned deep shadow. But I thought it was one of those silly Navy stories. You must find it, Mr. Harper. Money is no object.
I scribbled a note on my pad.
Does George have any old Navy buddies? Someone he confided in? Yes, there's Nate Corrigan. He lives here in town. I'll give you his address.
I handed her one of my business cards, and she wrote the address on the back. I took the card, put it in my pocket, and stood. All right, Mrs. Prattle, I'll take the case. My fee's $25 a day plus expenses.
She nodded, relief flooding her face. That's fine. Just bring my George back.
The parrot squawked again as Hortense swept out of the office, Werner trailing silently behind her like a shadow in a cheap suit. I stared at the door for a long moment after it shut, listening to the echo of Captain's voice still ringing in my ears.
Deep shadow.
The case had started with a desperate woman, a missing husband, and a foul-mouthed bird. It felt simple enough, but nothing in my line of work ever stayed simple. I grabbed my hat and coat and turned to Ava. I'm heading to the library. Ellie Denton might know something about deep shadow. Hold down the fort, will you? Ava gave me a small wave. Be careful, Cole.
Yeah, I said, tugging the brim of my hat.
Always am.